J. Michael Edwards, welcoming you back to the Majestic Academy, where perfection is expected, but excellence is accepted. We are continuing to move along through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Today, we will look at the destruction of the Babylonian economy. This great economic system is going to come crashing down. So, open your Bibles to chapter 18, sit up straight, and let's join Pastor Don as he teaches a lesson entitled, The Destruction of Economic Babylon.
Thank you, J. Michael. Welcome back. As J. Michael said, welcome back to the Academy. Well, last time we took a look at the destruction of, if you will, the religious side of Babylon, the great whore, the one world religion. And today we're going to look at the destruction of economic Babylon. And so let's get right into this. Revelation 18, verses 1 through 24. It was a bit long, so sit back. This is, again, it's 24 verses, so we will read this. Again, this is a verse-by-verse study of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're going to read all 24 verses of Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of the devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornications with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and fasting, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that day, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, that great city! That was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is likened to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall thy great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and of the pipers and the trumpets shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Lord, what amazing verses. Father, I pray that you would help me now to partake, to be able to show the folks here what these verses mean. Father, I pray that you give me wisdom. Lord, open the ears of our students here in the Majestic Academy, and again, help me to impart wisdom today in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry about that. I got my tongue caught on my eye teeth, and I could not see what I was saying. You probably never heard that one before. So, in our last study, we considered the destruction of religious Babylon. The Bible paints a horrific picture of the end of all false religion. One day, every belief system in the world that bypasses the Lord Jesus Christ will be utterly destroyed and will cease to exist. That will be a devastating day for the devil and his followers, but it will be a glorious day for the God of heaven and for his Son Jesus. While chapter 17 reveals the demise of ecumenical Babylon, this chapter reveals the doom of economical Babylon. In verses 1 through 2, a mighty angel, shining with the glory of heaven, appears on the scene. This angel comes to announce the condition and the condemnation of this world's economic system. Mankind will not only be deprived of the religion he created, he will also suffer the loss of the wealth he craves. Nothing seems to devastate people more than destitution. Take away a man's money, and often you will have taken away his reason for living. This was the case in 1929 when the stock market crashed. October 29th, 1929 became known as Black Tuesday. When the stock market crashed, the world was plunged into the Great Depression. Over the next few years, the economic structure of the U.S. economy was nearly destroyed. Over 9,000 banks closed their doors between 1930 and 1933. Production in the U.S. manufacturing plants ground to a halt, leaving millions and millions unemployed. Many thousands lost their homes to foreclosure. Many others lost their health due to malnutrition. All across this nation, people waited in soup lines for their meals. All across this nation, hobo jungles in Hooversville sprang up. The hobo jungles were places near train yards where the hobos who traveled the country on freight cars set up camp. Hoovervilles were shanty towns filled with shacks made from crates and other cheap materials. They were named after President Hoover, who received much of the blame for the economic conditions of the times. People who lived through those dark and difficult days were changed forever by the hardships they suffered. These verses tell us of an economic collapse that will make the stock market crash of 29 seem like nothing. This economic disaster will be worldwide in its scope, and it will take away mankind's favorite god, money. Our money has the words, "In God we trust," printed or stamped on every piece. For far too many, the God they trust is that piece of money they hold in their hands. We have already considered the destruction of one of the world's religious systems that will dominate the end times. In this study, we will consider the demise of the one world economic system that will dominate the world in those days. By the way, whether we realize it or not, the world's economy is already headed towards being one vast system, and it's getting closer and closer every day. So let's consider the facts in this chapter that are revealed as God judges the economic system of this world, and a lesson entitled The Destruction of Economic Babylon. In verses 2 through 8, we see a corrupted system. We see the spirit of this system. The angel tells us about the spirit behind the system. It will be a system energized and controlled by demons and evil spirits. It will be utterly vile and corrupt. We look at our world today and think that it can't get any worse. What this verse describes is a world that is literally gone to the devil. Things can get worse, my friends, and they will. In verse 3, we see the seduction of this system. This Babylonian system will seduce the entire world. Kings and merchants will all tie their futures to what happens in this economic boom. Billions of dollars will be made as the wealthy people of the earth give everything they have to get their hands on all they can get. You know what? We live in a world obsessed with money. How many of us have sat around and imagined what we would do if we had $1 million? What if I were to win the lottery? What would I do with that $1 million? How many always have some scheme cooking in their mind of what they will do to make them rich? The love of money is the greatest corrupter of mankind ever. 1 Timothy 6:10, it's not the money itself, it's the love of money. Money in and of itself is not evil. But when a person loves money to the point that it controls their life, it becomes evil. In verses 4 through 8, we see the sentence of this system. The angel is preparing to pronounce God's judgment upon this corrupt system. Before he does, he calls for God's people to avoid being caught up in the wickedness of that hour. The angel calls for the people of God to reject this system and the sins of this system. God expects his people to come out of this world system and be different. We know this verse, 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God expects us to be motivated by different sets of values than the world. We will never win the world by being like them. We will impact the world most when we separate from their ways and allow them to see Jesus living through our lives. But listen in as the Lord's sentence is passed on the Babylonian economic system. We see her deeds. The sins of this system have reached unto heaven. The word reached means to glue or to cement, to fasten together. The ancient Tower of Babel failed to reach the heavens, but the sins of this system have succeeded in reaching the throne of God. God, in his patience, has held back his judgment. Now, the sins of Babylon have come up in the remembrance of God, and the day of his judgment has arrived. I praise God that those who are in Jesus do not have to worry about their sins being remembered. Consider this wonderful promise from Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I praise God that my sins have been buried into the deepest ocean as far as the east is from the west to never be remembered again. What a blessing. Then in verse 6, we see her doom. The word reward here means to pay a debt, to give back that which is due. Babylon has sinned much, and she is about to be punished much. Her sins have been doubled, and her punishment will be doubled too. You never get away with sin, my friends. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This tells us that we always reap what we sow. The problem with this sowing and reaping business is that we always reap more than we sow. Many people think they are getting away with their sin, but they're not. There will come a reaping day, and the reaping will far exceed the sowing. Verse 7, we see her deception. This system glorifies itself It thinks it is so powerful and so glorious that it is above sorrow and above judgment. The Babylonian system is about to learn a very, very harsh lesson. Lots of people have the same attitude about their lives. They think that they are safe and that they'll never be judged. God has a word for people with that attitude, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then in verse 8, we see her destruction. Her power and her glory and her pride will not stave off the judgment of God. Her destruction will be swift and sure. In one day, all that man has built over thousands of years will be brought to nothing. Judgment will come and there will be no escapes. It is settled. Then in the last half of verse 8, we see her destroyer. God makes promises and doesn't make threats. This system has defied his word and defiled his ways. He will come in judgment, and none will be able to stay his hand or stop his purposes. He is able to judge the world, and none can stop him. And so, we looked at a system corrupted. Let's look at a system considered. When the Babylonian economic system is judged, the entire world is plunged into grief. The world cries, "Alas! Alas!" as they realize that their wealth and power is gone. Notice how the different groups react to the fall of Babylon. In verses 9 and 10, the monarchs of the earth consider her. All the leaders of the nations of the earth who have risen to power and prosperity on the back of this system now mourn over the destruction. Every economy of every nation on the earth will crash to the ground in a moment of time. The crash of this system will be accompanied by the wailing and the weeping of the rulers of the world. Then we see the merchants of the earth consider her. These merchants are the businessmen and the CEOs of the great businesses of the world. In an instant, their financial empires are brought to desolation. They weep and they mourn because no one has any money with which to buy their goods. In verse 12, all of a sudden, their goods, which were worth so much, that's gone. They're worth nothing. Verse 12 tells us that the luxuries of life are out of reach. Houses, cars, jewelry, and other fine things of life will be unobtainable. Verse 13 tells us that the basic necessities of life will be impossible to obtain. Spices and bread and meat and other foods will be out of reach for every man. Verse 14 tells us that the exotic things that men will long for will be taken away. And notice this list. The first item is gold in verse 12. The last item is the souls of men in verse 13. This reveals where the world system places its priorities. It elevates profits over people. This system has built its power and gained its prosperity through oppression and enslavement of the common man. My friends, those days are about to be over. In verses 15 through 17, it shows the formerly wealthy merchants weeping over the destruction of this city. They have witnessed the devastation of the world's economic system, and they are shattered by what they have seen. We live in an hour when anything we want is readily available, and most people in our society are able to afford just about anything they want. People talk about the economic downturn in our area, especially with COVID and Omicron and all these things, economic downturn. But you cannot prove that by the parking lot of Walmart. I've got a Walmart just up the street here, and it's packed all the time. People still have plenty of money. That will change one day. The money of the world will be worth nothing. Goods will cease to be available. The world will be brought to its knees by the destruction of the economic Babylon. And then verses 17 through 19, the mariners of the earth consider her. All the people who made a fortune carrying the goods produced by the system mourn when they see its destruction. Their source of wealth is taken away and they are left destitute. All hope of profit and prosperity are taken away in an instant. And then the multitudes of heaven consider her. While earth weeps over the fall of Babylon, heaven worships. This system has been responsible for the death and destruction of many of God's people. Now this system is judged, and heaven is filled with joy. How interesting it is to observe heaven's perspective concerning the events on earth. What brings sadness to the hearts of earthly men brings shouting to the hearts of heavenly men. One day we will have a heavenly perspective. We should pray that God will give us some of that, even today. And then in verses 21 through 24, we see a system condemned. So we see a system corrupted, a system considered, and a system condemned. These last verses bring the judgment of economic Babylon to a conclusion. And so let's consider how this evil system will be condemned. In verse 21, her condemnation is characterized. A mighty angel casts a millstone into the sea. A millstone was a large round stone used to grind grain. Say that three times backwards. It's a round stone used to grind grain. A typical millstone was a large stone. It was around 4 to 5 feet in diameter and about a foot thick. A stone of that nature would sink to the bottom of the sea and it would not float back to the surface. This stone is used to illustrate the judgment that is coming upon Babylon. Babylon will be destroyed and it will not rise to power ever again. This is what Jeremiah prophesied many, many years ago in Jeremiah 51:64, "And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary." Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. The judgment of Babylon will be sudden, swift, and sure. It is also a judgment that is settled forever. And then in verses 22 and 23, her condemnation is completed. When Babylon is judged and ceases to exist, her passing will also signal the passing of life as the world knows it. There will be no more music in verse 22. Music has always been associated with happiness and joy. There will be no more reason for rejoicing. Music will cease. There will be no more manufacturing. People have always been industrious. Man has always found a way to work with his hands and provide for his family. Man works because he has a hope for the future. When Babylon falls, all hope for the future vanishes with her. There will be no more merriment. The light of a candle speaks of habitation and home. A light in the window of home suggests happiness, hope, family, and home. All these are taken away when Babylon falls. The homes of the world will be plunged into darkness and despair. There will be no more marriages. No longer will love bring hopeful couple to an altar to exchange their vows. There will be no more beautiful brides in their white dresses. There will be no more nervous grooms in their tuxedos. There will be no more flower girls, no more ring bearers, no more wedding bells. Weddings are times filled with hope and happiness. A couple meets at the altar, and with their hearts full of love and hope for the future, they begin their relationship with great expectations. When Babylon falls, there will be no more love, no more marriages, and no more hope for the future. And then lastly, we see her condemnation is contemplated. This system is judged because she stood for everything God was against. This system was domineering. A few got rich while the rest suffered. Does that sound like today? There's just a few, I'll tell you what, there's just a few men getting rich today. And everyone else is suffering mightily. This system was deceptive. People were led to believe that salvation was in achieving riches and success. That is a lie of the devil. It is better to have none of this world's goods than for this world's goods to have you. Listen to the word of God in Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs 11:28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. This system was deadly. In verse 24, the Babylonian system had been responsible for the deaths of many of God's precious people down through the ages. In fact, most of the faithful martyrs that have been killed have been sacrificed on the altar of power and profit. And how we see that play out today in this situation with the COVID-19 and the vaccines and all these other things going on today. This is all, my friends. It's all about power. It's all about making money. And many, many thousands, if not millions, have been suffering, and many more millions will die at the hands of these rich and powerful people. Make no mistake about it. This was not an accidental situation. It was manufactured to make the rich richer and make the poor suffer. And so I'll get off that politics thing, but this is what we see going on right now, and it is preparing the way for this time of the destruction of the Babylonian economic system. And so, in conclusion, this world economic system that has caused so much pain is going to be destroyed one day. My advice to you is to be sure that your treasure is in the right place. Matthew 6, 19 to 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you place the eggs of your life in the basket of this world, they will be broken one day. And so, are you saved today? Are you saved? Are you born again? Because nothing in the world matters. If you're not born again, nothing else matters. One day, and that day is coming soon, if you're not saved, you will not go to heaven. If the Lord Jesus were to return for his church this day, would you be taken in the rapture, or would you be left here? If you are left behind, you need to know that you will be left to endure the tribulation period. You will suffer hardship like you cannot imagine, and eventually you will die and go to hell. That does not have to be your future, my friends. You can be saved and made ready for heaven right now. If you'll just come to Jesus, if you'll just come to Jesus, he will save your soul. He died to redeem you, and he will come for you if you don't turn away. He will not turn away from you. Are you tied to this world system? Are you so tied to this system that you refuse to give your life to Christ? If you're tied to this system, God can set you free. If there are needs, you need to go to him. If there are needs, you need to mind what he says. And it's a matter of recognizing that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to recognize that you need to believe on Jesus. Even though we've sinned, God loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son to die for us. What a blessing! Jesus died in our place. We are condemned, but through the blood of Christ, we can be freed from that condemnation. And so we've got to admit we're a sinner. We've got to believe on Jesus Christ, that he died for us, that he rose again. And then we need to call on him to save us. We need to call on him with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It's a heart thing. We can say some words, but it's a matter of opening up our heart and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. And so if you've been listening to these all along, I know you've heard this, but some may not. And so let me say again, you just need to pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I ask you into my heart right now to be the Lord of my life, to save me and take me to heaven when I die. And I ask it in your name. Amen. If you said those words, if you prayed that prayer or a prayer like it, and you meant it in your heart, then you, my friend, are what the Bible says, born again. You are a born again child of God. You've been regenerated spiritually speaking. Your dead spirit has been made alive through the precious blood of Jesus. And so I hope you prayed that prayer. I hope you're born again. Get to your family, let them know that one day, I mean, we're all going to die, for all will die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Of course, we're all going to die. But you should not want your family to die without Christ. I've got some family that's not saved, and I pray for them. I witness to them. I just trust in God that He will open their heart and they'll receive Him as their Savior before it's too late. And so, next time, we're going to be looking at a very, very, very special time. I'll let J. Michael Edwards introduce that as he signs off. And this is Pastor Don saying, keep looking up and listening for the shout.
J. Michael here. You know, the Great Depression back in the 20s was really bad. Many people lost everything. But that is a mere drop in the bucket compared to what is going to happen to ancient Babylon. These billionaires who think they control everything will feel the same pain as the folks did back in the day. So, moving forward, do you like weddings? Most people do. The pomp, the circumstance, the wonderment as the bride walks down that aisle to stand next to her admiring groom. If you like weddings, you'll really like our next lesson entitled A Marriage Made in Heaven. Get your camera ready and keep looking up.